Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon. And obviously, once again, the thing that we do love most is very much being geared and supporting the mighty Tottenham Hotspur. This week, I am joined in our Skype studio by the Dorset Spur, Mr. Lee Taylor. Hello, Lee.
Hello, mate.
And Mr. Big Bad Don Amici. Hello, Milong.
Hello.
And then we have Kurtz. Big Bad Kurtz, Big Little Kurtz, Lee Curtin. Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Good stuff. So, obviously, it's been a bit of a crazy 10 days. Apologies for not doing a more frequent show, but we've had various things going on, and we obviously did, some of us did go to Amsterdam, and it's all been a little bit crazy. But we are catching up on the week, 10 days gone by, as it were. And so, obviously, just want to fill you in on our thoughts on it all. And discuss what's happening next. We are going to be doing an actual Champions League final preview show a bit closer to the time, but we're just going to talk about the few games that have happened since our last pod. So the first of those games was the Bournemouth game. Now, obviously, this was a game that we just required to win to guarantee us top four. Even if we'd have got a draw, it would have probably meant that we would have still maybe got third if we'd have won our final game against Everton. It was a crazy game. We had a very, very good first half. We created quite a few chances. Dele Alli was a major threat. Their keeper, their young keeper, has had an absolute blinder. And then obviously Son saw a red for his reaction. And then changed it at half time. And then obviously brought on Foyt, who also saw red. So I can't remember having it down to 9 men before, but we did really, really well, I thought, to maintain them, to keep them, to restrict them, and then obviously frustratingly conceding a last minute winner to Ake. So let's start firstly with the sendings off, Lee Taylor. Did you have any complaints firstly about the Somme one?
Initially, when I first saw it, I thought he'd been stamped on or something to see him react the way he did, because his son's one of those players that kind of just plays with a smile on his face. He never gets involved. So from where I was standing, I said to my mate, I'm pretty sure he's got stamped or something there for him to react like that. So I was a little bit, I didn't think he needed to be sent off. I didn't think he needed to do that. If he'd have booked him and that, it would have been probably a better answer, but I think the ref was just in a rush to make some sort of decision, and there you go. So he's one of those, could have gone either way, but I think the ref should have maybe took a minute to work out what had actually happened.
Do we think, like, obviously you're not meant to raise your hand, but is it meant to be violent conduct if you push someone in the chest? Because that's all it was.
The geezer, he went down like a sack of what's it, and he's rolling around on the floor. And it's like, really, mate? If someone pushed you like that in a pub, you'd have probably just spilt a drop of beer. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't have made a big fuss over it.
Probably not even that. Probably would have held your beer. It wasn't very hard.
Probably caught it before it hit the floor. But you know what I mean? And I just thought, why is he just need to make such a fuss over it? But
yeah, I mean, it did look like he hit him a little bit on the back on the way down, Lerma, but it wasn't anything to react the way he did. It was a little bit weird, I thought, his reaction.
I think it was probably to do with, because just before that he'd been blocked off. So I think he got blocked off and he went down and didn't get anything. And then that happens sort of fairly quickly after that. And I think maybe it was a build up of the two things. Yeah. Took a bit of a dig to the back and he thought, I've had enough of that, because I guess there was a lot of pressure on him for that game, because everyone was going, oh, we've got some back, that's going to do it. And all the pressure was on him. So maybe he felt a little bit of pressure at the same time. Yeah. I don't know.
Kurtz, you've played football to a reasonable level. Have you ever got sent off for something silly like that?
No, but I was probably allowed to tackle when I played. So you kind of bit your lip a little bit and just waited for a nice 60-40. In their favour. I just went about your business, because you knew he was going to pick up a yellow card. But just as Lee says there, I think there was a number of contributing factors. One, we was waiting for Sonny to come back. He probably felt a little bit of pressure. He was going to miss the game. So he wanted to be, you know, he was there to deliver for us. And I don't think he's been on the ball since, well, for the last couple of weeks, to be honest with you. He's worked very hard, but it's been a bit stop start and the goals haven't really flowed except for against Man City. And then as Lee alludes to, that Lerma was just on his case, off the ball as well. He clearly checked him on his run, like really checked him, took him clean out. And then actually just before they was in the 18-yard box and they were both on the ground, he had another little tug at Sonny, but Sonny got up and got away from him quicker and got to the ball to make that tackle. And Lerma got himself up off the ground, then came over, hit him on the back, stamped on his ankle. And Sonny, yeah, probably just 15, 20 minutes, he's just had enough. He's frustrated with his own performance, which happens. And then you've got some guy just harassing you, like, non-stop. And the referee doesn't seem to be favouring you in any way at all. Yeah, you just have a little, you have a little lash out. And that's all it was. And let's have it right. It was a push to the shoulder. It wasn't to the face. It wasn't to the chest. He was sideways on. And it was the shoulder. It was so
his forearm. Do you think it was a red card?
It was a yellow for me.
Okay.
It was a yellow.
Okay. I was just going to go to Don to see what his thoughts were, listen, whether you thought it was a red or not.
I agree with the two Lees, really. It's Lerma was up to no good the whole game. And not just that. I think that he aggravated other players, other Spurs players in the team, mainly after the sending off. But he was just up to making a nuisance of himself, you know, trying to disturb our flow. You can tell that, you know, we were basically trying to concentrate on building and trying to dominate the game. And I mean, it's dark arts, it's ring smarts, whatever you want to call it, but he knew what buttons to push with Son, and he reacted. Do I think it was a yellow card? I suppose in real time, no. And as Dorset Lee said, I think if the referee had just waited, you know, if even a few, like, debated it over his mind over a few minutes, I think he would have gone with a yellow. But he wanted that immediate reaction. Mm. He got the card out. And it is what it is. I agree with you, though, that when we went down to nine men, obviously, I think we played really well, actually, for what it was worth. That 40 minutes was good.
Yeah.
Good performance.
So talking about going down to nine men, do you have any excuse for what Foyt did? And can you give him any reason as to why he did what he did? It's just lunacy, isn't it? In that position to put your foot up high like that. Don, I'll go to you.
I mean, he's got one in him, hasn't he? He's one of those players we all know. We're all a little bit nervous when he's, you know, when he has to go into something like that. You know, it's really weird. At the beginning of the season, when things didn't go his way, I sort of thought, oh, you know, it's just nerves. But it seems to be a reoccurring thing with Foyth. Mm. I want to say he's going to learn, but...
But surely, Dorset Lee, when you're coming on and your team's down to 10 men, surely that should be in your head to even more... not do what you did.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, the boy's he's quite assured when he's on the ball, and I think he lost control of it very quickly on, and he's just dived in. I don't think there was any malice in it. I don't think he'd done it on purpose or anything like that. I think he's just lost his head. I've lost the ball, I need to get it, and he's just dived in. Absolutely no complaint. As soon as he done it, we all kind of, everyone in the crowd would kind of turn away as if to go, oh, no, really? So I think we all knew he was going. As soon as he's kind of lost the ball, you could see what was going to happen.
Yeah. And he was so surprised as well. His face was hilarious. He was like, I was like, oh.
He must have been the only person who was surprised, though.
I think so. So, Kurtz, are you in agreement? No excuse?
No excuse. It was... It was a real show of immaturity, I think, because, you know, he was told in no uncertain terms why he was coming on. You know, he was replacing Dyer, who was lucky to stay on. And, you know, that's the other reason why Toby was pulled as well, because they were baying for our blood. The crowd, Lee was there. I tell you, they was baying for our blood. They was baying for the referee to make that decision. And that's partly the reason Sonny probably got done as well, because they feel that Dyer should have walked before Sonny.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, I know people argue with it and people have different opinions, but I've been on pitches when referees have cocked up and know they've cocked up in the end, because the linesman will pull them to a side and say, I think that might have been one. I think you might have missed one. And then the next opportunity comes along, they think, well, yeah, you know, got to go. Because if we're all going to be honest, Dyer should have walked. And I think if Dyer walks, we're going to be a far more settled side at 10. I think everybody's going to be a bit more relaxed. We know what we've got to do. We knew we'd be up against it and we'd be a little bit more composed. But we just kind of panicked a little bit. And it was disappointing from Foyth, I think, because he had 15 minutes to get his head around it, knew what he had to do. And I mean, when you see the tackle, I know there was no malice in it, but it wasn't pretty. And I was just grateful he did miss Matey's knee, because a couple of centimetres the other way and it wouldn't have been nice.
Yeah, true. The frustrating thing about it all, obviously, is that Son and Foyt now missed the first two games of next season, which is not what we want, but it is what it is. So now it's time to talk about the crazy night that was had in Amsterdam last week. It was one for the memory books. This whole Champions League journey has been absolutely incredible. I can't remember a set of games like it. To know, to realise where we came from in terms of the fact we were going out so often. There was like a point in the group stage we were going out against PSV. The time we were going out against Inter, it was like 12 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go. It was the same against City. It's just like unbelievable how we've managed to just keep in there. And obviously now we're in the final. I still can't believe it. That still just sounds weird to me. I just can't get my head around it. It's just incredible. Every time I see the Moura goal, the winner, I start crying. I'm like, man up. Come on. It's just like, oh my God. It's Poch though. It's Poch's reaction. It's just like, oh my word. And people say to me, oh, you know, why didn't you like film out there when you were out there in Amsterdam? I was like, because I was a nervous wreck before the game, like proper nervous, like couldn't really speak to anyone. So I was just getting drunk. And then they're like, well, we could recorded something afterwards. I was in no fit state to record anything. So there's all these people that do like these, you know, like the expressions thing. They record themselves during the day game. And it's like, it's really good, but there's no way I could do that because I drink too much and I'll just be pointless. It'll be absolutely useless. So it's not really my bag. So that's the reason why, because a lot of people are saying, why aren't you filming? I'm like, nah, but it was absolutely incredible. Lee Curtin, you wrote some absolute stinkers of halftime criticisms of the game, which was hilarious, and then it was redeemed in the second half. I think maybe you were just encouraging them. Was that what it was all about, Lee? Was it reverse psychology?
Oh, I don't know if I was responsible for the stinkers. I stand by what I said.
No, it wasn't a great first half performance. I will agree with that.
No, I know some people were absolutely hammering individuals, and I wouldn't have hammered. I didn't hammer any individual. No. I just felt for the stature of the tournament that we were in, what was at stake, where these boys were. We walked out and we probably had the biggest team talk from Poch, told them all about it, where they are, how close they are, and they went out and they went down inside 7 minutes and they walked around. They didn't walk around, but some of them felt sorry for themselves. There's no two ways about it. They felt sorry for themselves. They thought, okay, it's a wrap. We're done. We're actually done for. And I said in the social media group that they owe us 45 minutes of... They owe us a 45-minute performance, if anything, of just pride. Like, play like you deserve to be there. Show a little bit of bottle. Show a little bit of fight. Because you're in a Champions League semi-final. You know, it's the biggest cup competition and you're in the semi-final and you haven't turned up. So give us 45 minutes for all the travelling fans, for all the fans watching it. Give us 45 minutes. Play with a bit of pride. Show a little bit of fight. That's all I wanted. I wanted a bit of fight, a bit of effort. And
well, there was talk of Kane coming down to the changing room apparently at halftime, but I think actually all they did was show them your Facebook.
Well, Harry read it and he went down and said, listen,
there you go.
We need 45 minutes of fight, 45 minutes of passion. You're this close to the Champions League final.
I think it probably was something along those lines. I think it was all about leave. I think everyone was saying, like, just leave everything on the pitch, like, just give it everything. It was a case of that. And I think we were quite fortunate, as it were, I suppose, the way that the second half started to get those two goals, because then you could see that Ajax, they crumbled. They went really, really nervous. They didn't really know what to do. And it was the same towards the end of the game. Like, they had chances to run it into the corner, but they were still trying to score. And it's like, that's obviously maybe game management on their side, because they're obviously quite a young side still. But I think they were just, as a team, they were shell-shocked by the fact that they thought they were through at half-time, yeah, guaranteed. They were putting up their pipe and slippers. They were like, you know, there was Dutch journalists booking like flipping flights to Madrid. Like, honestly, it was like they thought it was absolutely done and dusted. So I think there was an element of shock, especially when that second goal went in for us, more a second goal. I think that was a case of like, you know, we'll sit back and what's happening here. But let's just talk about the goals to begin with, because the first goal, obviously, we talk about Trippier making mistakes, but surely the mistake was putting De Ligt on Trippier or vice versa. How has that come about, Lee Taylor?
I have no idea why he's done that. I mean, to be honest with you, Trippier's had a god-awful season, hasn't he? You know, by his standards. I mean,
he's 5 foot nothing. Like, that's surely...
I didn't get it. I mean, I've said it before. I know that Poch likes players to play through their bad times to get their form back and all the rest of it. But that game was not made for Trippier, in my view. It was a mistake having him there, you know. And I genuinely don't think that our players felt that they deserved to be there. And I think that's why we started off so slowly, in my opinion. I think they went out there thinking, you know, this is going to be tough. How the hell are we here? And then, you know, then you go a goal down and that sort of makes them think to themselves, yeah, I was right to think we shouldn't be here. And I think, like you said about the second half, that was a case of, it's got to literally be a case of, this could be your only chance.
Yeah.
So you've got to do everything. You've got to leave everything out there. Yeah. And we were saying it on the last pod, weren't we?
Yeah.
That's what we wanted. As fans, all we wanted was for them to go out there and give it everything. I would much rather them go out fighting than to just capitulate, yeah. You know, because that's what, you know, when that second goal went in, my heart was gone. I was like, oh man, this is, you know, here we go again. And I just wanted some pride,
yeah.
You know, and that's for me, all I was looking for is to play with some pride. So, you know, of course, Eric turnaround was magical, but you know,
it was, I mean, yeah, don't get me started. I'm blubbing. Don, obviously the system changed second half with the introduction of Llorente, and they ended up pretty much going gung ho, obviously, especially with the final goal coming from that kind of attack. So how much praise do you think Pochettino should receive for that change and for noticing that change, or was it obvious?
All the praise. I mean, it was, I think, you know, it's kind of weird because as a fan, it was obvious that there were probably two players that were up for going off at halftime. Trippier, we've mentioned, and Wanyama being the second. At halftime, I wouldn't have minded which one of them would have come off. But I, you know, I think that I don't think Wanyama, for some reason, didn't look right anyway. You know, going onto the field, obviously you were there, so you didn't see in the tunnel, but he just didn't, you know, certain players will G themselves up in different ways. He didn't look right going out onto the field. And clearly, you know, obviously we saw at the end of the game as he hobbled on to celebrate with the other players, he'd injured himself. But I'm wondering whether or not that injury was kind of there beforehand. I'm not sure if it was. Masterstroke by Pochettino bringing on Llorente, the Lion King. and yeah, it was it hurt Ajax because, you know, of the aerial battles that he had, I think he won, of the 12 that he had, he won 10 or 11. So, you know, being able to kick a ball up to him and him, you know, that ball to stick up there, gave the other players like Ali and Mora more confidence.
So, Lee, Curtin, what would you attribute the turnaround to, and who impressed you the most out of our players?
I thought Danny Rose and Sissoko were, I thought they were immense, and they just kept driving at them, and then Llorente when he came on. But as just go back with Poch there, we spoke about Trippier marking De Ligt, and he was actually Vertonghen marking De Ligt, and Trippier was to get in his way and slow him down, so Vertonghen could then pick him up as he approached a penalty spot. But he was outdone in a game of chess. And Ajax have obviously, this must be something that's done in the Dutch league. So it must be how players go about trying to stop De Ligt getting a free run at the ball. And they had their player mark and shut off Vertonghen.
Yeah.
So
De Ligt, slammed him.
Yeah, and De Ligt just moved Trippier out of the way and said, yeah, well, cheers, mate. But, you know, just run clean over him. So he got outdone on there. However, he pulls it back in the second half because he sends Llorente on and he says, go and mark Blind. Don't mark De Ligt. Don't get marked by De Ligt. Go and put yourself on Blind. And Llorente went and marked Blind. And every ball that went up, he won. And De Ligt couldn't get anywhere. He couldn't get close enough to him because then he's taken two players out of the game, both centre-backs. And then you've got Mora and Sonny still running. And Sonny didn't have the best game, but what we said in the previous podcast, if you go back and listen, we said it's got to be amazing because Sissoko will be out there and he'll take the ball off them and he'll chuck them around like little kids and he'll run with the ball and they won't be able to deal with it. And we also said Sonny and Lucas will run at them and they won't be used to that either and it will wear them down. And that last bit of that last 20 minutes, they were out on their feet. When that goal went in, they didn't just drop because it was a last minute goal. They were shattered, running around after Son, who wasn't the most effective, but then running around after Lucas. And they couldn't pick him up, especially once Llorente came on. They didn't know where to pick Lucas up. So Poch pulled it out. He came up with the, you know, he it was check in the first half. Hey, it was checkmate second half. Llorente was a big masterstroke. And Rose just driving at him, Sissoko nonstop. I thought Ali was brilliant. Very, very mature performance. I think his game's starting to evolve now. And he's just rising to certain levels. Not always outstanding, but his maturity level and the way he uses the ball, less touches, moving it the right way, was just brilliant. So, yeah, you know what? All hail Poch. Fair play to him because it was his call. It was his call. And whatever said in the change room at halftime needed to be said. And we all sit here in agreement going that all we wanted was leave everything on the pitch. You know, leave it all out there. You've got a couple of weeks off. If you make it, leave it all out there for now.
Absolutely. So we did have our final game of the season on Sunday. It was a little bit strange because, you know, even though it wasn't mathematically possible for us to completely qualify for the Champions League, we still were pretty much there. Arsenal needed an 8-goal swing, which they weren't going to get. And so we already there. So it felt like a bit of a friendly. It was a little bit weird. And obviously we were almost celebrating still the victory from Wednesday in the Champions League. So it was quite strange. I was really pleased to see Carl Walker-Peters play. I didn't think he had the best game, which was a little bit frustrating, but it was great to see him getting a start. But then I suppose, obviously, Trippier was maybe knackered and Foyt was suspended, so he didn't really have much choice there. Kurtz, what did you make of KWP's performance?
Yeah, I'm the same as you, as listeners will know. I'm always happy to see him out there. I'm always happy to see him get a run. And I just feel for him a little bit because, like you say, when he does turn up, it's not always the best performance. And that comes from, I mean, when was the last time we seen him, you know, on the pitch in a shirt? It's probably been a good, you know, it's probably been a good 10, 11, 12 games again. So it's really hard because I feel sometimes he just gets chucked in. You know, it's not even a 10 minutes here or 15 minutes there. It's we need you now, son. And he just goes in and expected to deliver. So I hope he doesn't get judged harshly on that. I don't think it was the worst game. I mean, I didn't watch it live in the stadium. I streamed it, and I thought he did okay. But he's just put back into the firing line again. So no, I thought he did all right.
I felt he almost had trippieritis, which is basically where he was getting the ball, and he was just like, no, I'm not going to take my man on. No, no, no. And that's maybe, it's like, maybe he's contagious. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe Trippier has just given him this lack of confidence. But maybe, like you said, lack of confidence is natural when you're not starting that much. You know, he needs to have a run of games back in his back pocket to have that confidence. Don, what do you think?
No, I completely agree with it. It's obviously, for a player of his talent, I feel like he should have had more starts this season. I mean, we've been crying out for it for some time now. My main issue really with his performance was that he seemed to, like you say, he didn't really want to take anyone on. But maybe there's an element of, you know, if I get injured now or I do something silly, and, you know, I might not even feature in that. You know, I think a few players must be thinking, there's an outside chance that I might get onto that field against Liverpool. And it could be that. I'm hoping it's down to that. And if not, it needs to be addressed next season, because the guy needs more games, regardless of, you know, where they come from. I don't want him to go out on loan, but, you know, he's at that age where he needs to be playing week in, week out.
I agree. Lee Taylor, what was your thought on the performance?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of players getting a run in a game, in a team, to be able to judge their performances. I wonder a little bit whether this, you know, not playing for so many games and then being put in is maybe trying to test his character to see how he reacts to, you know, not getting it regularly and stuff like that. Because obviously we don't know the guy as a person, so we don't know what his character's like. So Pochettino maybe testing some of that, I guess. But I mean, if you look at when we praise a player, it's generally come off of the back of a run in the team. You know, we've just talked about with Llorente or with Moura or whatever. When they're in and out of the team, you never really get their best. And when they come into a team after they've had a run of games, then you might start seeing the best of them. And I personally think that he will get more games next season. I think Trippier, maybe his time's coming towards an end. I think if they could get good money for him, I think they'd probably let him go. Because I do think they feel that KWP's got a future. And I definitely think he has. But as you guys are saying, you know, he needs a run in the team. He needs more games than that to build that confidence and stuff. But for me, I think he's the future for us.
So Janssen came on. I'm imagining that is definitely going to be his last game. And then we actually had a direct free kick from Christian Eriksen. What happened there, Lee Curtin? You must have been jumping up and around your living room.
I lost my mind. I lost my mind. No, I am. It's been a bloody long time coming.
I guarantee you were literally watching it going, no chance, no chance.
Well, there was two things that were almost the first. And I appreciate he didn't take the corner. Lamella took the corner. But we got past the first man on a corner and scored. And then our second goal was a direct from a free kick. So there was a lot of first to be...
What's happening in the world?
But listen, a hell of a strike. And as we spoke about earlier, and my one of my biggest frustrations as well with Eriksen is that's what he can do. And it's so few and far between. It really frustrates. It's not what he is or what he's about. We know what he can bring to the table. And you'd like to see a bit more of it on a regular basis. That's all. But yeah, brilliant. And, you know, that's in the league. And we've still got the Champions League final. Was that his signing off card as well, you know, so.
Interesting. It is going to be a really interesting summer, actually. And obviously, this is the kind of stuff we're going to talk about in the coming shows. I think that's about it, to be honest. It wasn't really much of a game to really talk about. I thought it was a bit of a strange one. Like I said, it had an element of a friendly, so it was nice to see Skip getting a run out again. It was nice for the Everton fans to sing, we're going to cheer when the Tottenham win the cup. That was quite fun. It's a bit of banter. Did enjoy that. It was annoying that flipping dickhead rang on the pitch at some point. I don't know. Was he an Everton fan? Do we know who he supported? Did you see the guy run on the pitch?
Nah.
No? Okay, fair enough. just me then. Flipping out, seeing things. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining me once again. Been an absolute pleasure to have you all season. But we are still going to carry on, and we are going to have a preview show, and we are then going to have like a sort of a preview show to the Champions League final. That still sounds weird for me to say. And we are going to have a little season roundup with some awards. And we may even have a bit of an outtake show, which will be absolutely hilarious, some of the stuff that we've done off and on camera. So that will be quite funny. So thank you very much once again for joining us, Mr. Lee Taylor, Mr. Lee Curtin, Mr. Don Amici. We love you guys. Thank you very much for listening once again. We are the Thing I Love Most show. If you haven't subscribed to us, then please do so. We're available on all various podcast channels. We do also do YouTube videos as well, as does Lee Taylor himself. You can catch him. He is Lee the Dorset Spur. So check out his YouTube vids as well. So thank you for listening once again. You can find us on Facebook, The Thing I Love Most show, Instagram, TTILM show, Twitter, TTILM show. And as I said, once again, we are on YouTube as well. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a preview show to Champions League. And enjoy your next couple of weeks. Take care.